The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's stick with the Olympics. We'll go back over to Paris. Big night for Rashida last night, of course, qualifying for the final in the 400 metres. Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball is in Paris and with me now. Ger, I guess the job was just to get through, you know, safely get through to the final, which she did. But, you know, after that race, people are focusing, some people, on form. And there's questions as well about illness or fatigue. I mean, what's the latest there?
Well, look, the latest is that there'll be no more information really until we get to the track, unless something leaks out in the meantime. But we didn't get to speak to Rashida in the mix zone last night. Traditionally, you kind of have to walk past the journalist from your country. But she was taken by the medical team straight away for some analysis or something. They were very non-specific. And I apologize for the non-specific nature of my language here, but we were waiting for 15, 20 minutes and everybody else had come through, all the other competitors from her event. And she'd been in the first heat, so second off the track in the first heat, still hadn't come through. And at that point, there was a, she's fine. She's fine. She's just very tired. And the doctors just wanted to take a quick look and make sure everything was okay, which was also code for you're not talking to her today. And then later on, we got a statement through saying she's relaxed. She's very excited about being in her first Olympic final tomorrow. And there's nothing to worry about. So look, we've got to take that at face value that maybe it's as straightforward as the hype of the occasion and the false start from Claver, who's like a world-class athlete. And she got, it seems, psyched out a little bit, Claver. And then Rashida goes out in an okay time. And Carl Dennehy has done the analysis on the splits today, if anybody wants to check it, in his social feed. But basically, she blew up and came back really quite slow, something like 14 or 15 seconds for the final, 14 and a half seconds for the final 100 metres, which is, you know, it's not going to get you a medal and it's not what she's normally capable of running. She was about 800th of a second behind a time she would have done at the start of June in the Diamond League, which is her fastest of the year. So that was it, really. It was like it didn't look good. She said it didn't look good. It didn't feel good. And she was absolutely banjaxed afterwards in terms of a brilliant picture on Sportsfile of her kind of just sitting down. And she bounced in off the first run. And so I think that's what was giving everybody pause for concern. And normally she comes and speaks, you know, and speaks brilliantly. So, yeah, look, there's a lot of pressure on a 21-year-old appearing in her first Olympic Games.
Yeah, there is. There's a huge amount. And I'm kind of thankful that she's away from it. I hope she's away from it. I hope people are kind of keeping her some way kind of isolated from all of that, because there have been people kind of hanging the medal around her neck, and you and I have talked about this. And I think last night, even for those people watching, it might have been a sobering moment watching her struggle. I know, kind of, I was watching some of the analysis afterwards and they were suggesting that, oh no, she might have slowed down because she took a look around and she saw that she was safely in second. I don't think anybody who watches an awful lot of athletics thought, looking at that, she is intentionally slowing down here because she's comfortable in second. It looked like she had hit a wall.
Totally. And the Norwegian who finished in third did actually end up qualifying for the final as well, but she was finishing like a steam train. So the notion that you'd be comfortable waiting for somebody to come and steal your spot in an Olympic final.
Yeah. And she dipped. She dipped her chest at the line. That was for me the glaring sign that this wasn't somebody who kind of was trotting over the finish line because they were comfortable. You wouldn't dip if you were that comfortable. So, yeah, I mean, again, and look, we just have to be kind of cold and analytical to a degree. I mean, you'd have to say, based on what we've seen, and nobody knows, and that's why sport is so great. It's the unpredictability of it. But she's racing for bronze more than anything, probably, is she?
Yeah, I think Paulino from the Dominican Republic was incredibly impressive in her heat. And then you have the troubling case of Salwa Eid Nasser from Bahrain, who has previously been banned for 2 years for whereabouts failures and had run blistering times either side of those whereabouts. So a whereabouts is where you're supposed to be in a place and the drug test has come and you're not there. It's like, oh, sorry, did I not tell you where I'd moved? And that happened four times. And then she got a two-year ban. So look, she is also running blistering times that are as fast as anything Rashida has run this year. So those two, you would say, are first and second. And then Amber Anning is one of those young British athletes who is coming with a blast of form at exactly the right time. Like, and she, you know, her world ranking coming into this was 16th, but she's outperforming that, and she's at a stage of her career where she can make those improvements, and it is credible. So, and then also you've got Natalia Kaczmarek from Poland who beat her already this year. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that she runs a good race along the lines of what she's run already in this event at this time and doesn't medal. She needs to do her best time of the year to be in the shake-up for medals. And she just doesn't seem to be in the form that she was in June.
Mm.
And you got to retrospectively look back and find afterwards what would you needed to have do to not have the June form in June, but have it in August. And that's it's such a difficult act to get people to their very best for this week.
Yeah, it is. Listen, the one thing you would say, it's a nice lane draw that everybody she'd want to keep an eye on is in front of her. Effectively, you know, Paulino and Nasser, you'd imagine will kind of streak away to a degree, but Anning and Kaczmarek and Holmes are all going to be within her sights, so she at least can keep an eye on them or close them down in the first 200, which had been the plan. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, and I know you're going to be with us at 4 o'clock Irish time in O'Sullivan's, the Irish House in Paris, because we've got our Olympic special coming live from Paris, the Hard Shoulder, tomorrow. But it's not the only thing happening. We've got other action on the track. We've got Mark English, we've got Sarah Lavin, and we are, I was about to say, in the pool. We're in the Seine tomorrow, are we, with Daniel Whiffen?
We're in the Seine with all of the glory of the human fecal stuff.
That's what they call it, is it? The glory. Yeah, yeah. Look at all, yeah. There's a big glory floating down the Seine.
Yeah. Some of the swimmers have talked about like seeing things you should never see and feeling things you should never feel. Was it Neil? Was it a shopping trolley? I don't know. Maybe they don't throw shopping trolleys. There are two cultures in Paris to throw their shopping trolleys in. But I've swum in the Liffey and it's not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant at all. And the Seine is much bigger and wider. And obviously we keep hearing the figure has been €1 billion spent on trying to clean it up, but apparently they've done an okay job of that. Not a great job. They haven't quite got value for money. It's Children's Hospital kind of value for money, bang for their buck when it's come to cleaning up the Seine. So look, I don't know. There's only 20 countries taking part in it. He's not the only person who's doing it for the first time. One of his training partners from Loughborough University is doing it. There's a field of 31. So you'd have to say he has some kind of chance, but it's absolute madness to be doing your first competitive one of these at the end of the game. And it's totally in keeping with the wildness of his character where it's like, yeah, why wouldn't I do it? And if I'm doing it, I should probably medal. Like he's been, I don't know if you know this, but they feed you during the middle of it. You have to swim up to somebody who has a cup. And then in that cup, I don't know, is it like a protein drink or is it just water? Or is there actual food of some kind of vaguely solid thing? You have to grab it and get it into you and then keep swimming. And I don't think any of us have ever watched a full one. Certainly not that many people in Ireland are expert enough to have said, yeah, I've watched 2 hours of people swimming where there's no rhyme or reason to it. And at the end, the fastest / bravest wins. So, it would be ridiculous / remarkable if he was to pull something off tomorrow.
It would be. And listen, he's the man who could do it. He is that type of character. I have to say I have a great time for him. I find it very likable. We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, tomorrow. We will talk as well about, you know, Mark English and Sarah Lavin after their semi-finals tomorrow, and Rashida in the 400-metre final. Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. Ger, pleasure. We'll talk to you in Paris.
Take care. See you soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.